Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Radio Established to Address Life. We are back. We have formed like Voltron once again. What's buzzing, cousins?
Hey, can't call it, baby. Happy to be back, man. Been away for a while, taking care of some business, but I'm so happy to be back, man. I missed you, cuz. I missed the show. I missed the viewers. So, yeah, I'm ready. What's up?
First off, I'm mad, son.
What you mad about, cuz?
See, there you go. See, you supposed to do it right. You're supposed to like, tell him why you're mad, son. Tell him why you're mad.
You know what? Yo, because you didn't have the same emphasis on it. You know what I'm saying? You're like, I'm mad, cuz. Tell him why you're mad, cuz. You know what I mean?
Mad, son. I'm mad. You know what I'm saying?
Mad,
all right, so first, tell him why you're mad, son. Tell him why you're mad. I'll tell your motherfucking mind, man. Nah, seriously, though, like, I was supposed to be off today. I got called into work this morning, and I'm pissed. Today is the homecoming for my high school. Yeah, today is the homecoming for my high school. I don't ask for a lot. This is definitely one of those days that I wanted and needed, especially after the long stretch that my ass put in over the past couple of weeks, but that's a different story for a different time. But, you know, it is what it is. I got to make the donuts, and I got to make the dough because I'm a fat boy, and I like to eat. Not really. I joke with that fat boy line, but I do love to eat. So I'm up in here, you know, getting it in, doing the thug dizzle, and it's raining. We're getting the remnants of Matthew, Nicola come through probably later on in the week, if she touches us at all. But right now, we're getting the remnants of Matthew on the East Coast, up here in Maryland. Others, please be safe. I've reached out to the family down in Florida, down in South Carolina, the folks down in Georgia, making sure everybody's everywhere. Everything is everything with everyone. Everyone checked back in and said they were good. I'm good. I'm happy about that, without a doubt. Definitely mad nervous because Matthew is no damn joke. The Cup came in as a Category 4 hurricane. It's been downgraded to a Category 3, but that's still nothing to be played with, man. You know, they were talking, they being different news entities and outlets, talking about how high low tide was. Yo, now, that's some shit. When you start talking about how high low tide was, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, low tide is actually touching me right now. Where normally it's all the way up there. You know, that's some shit to be worried about, you know? And in all of these instances, there's always folks is like, yo, fuck it. They always said it's going to be worse than it actually is, and I'm going to stay, and and a lot of people paid for that, man. Power was out. Water was out. Let me tell y'all something. So we have a little piece of land down in South Carolina, right? And our grandfather, the last one, he's still alive. And dude, every now and again, eggs means, like, when you coming down, when you going to stay, I'm like, Pop, I can't do that shit. And I'm going to tell you why. So a couple of years ago, I'm down in South Carolina in the summertime, and I decide, well, that's not true. I was in North Carolina, and I got a hair in my ass and said, you know what, I need to go see my grandfather. I'm too damn close. Let me just go see this dude, make sure he's good. So I jet down to the house. You know, get down there, we sitting around, we laughing, we joking, we hanging out, blah, blah, blah. It gets late, and I'm like, well, fuck it. You know, I'm already here. I need to spend some time with him, so I'm going to stay tonight, wake up, we'll go to breakfast in the morning, do the whole nine. You know what I'm saying? Have a nice little time of it. Dude, about 6 o'clock, the power went off. Now, y'all need to remember something. We city Negroes. You feel what I'm saying, G? Power go off. It's like, okay, cool, you know? Power off for half an hour, 45 minutes, should be going. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is what it is, you know? If it's off too long, you hop in the whip, you go to the mall, you do some shopping, you know, you come back like, hey, it is what it is, right? Not where we live in South Carolina. Let me just say that right now. So then wait, Pop come out the mouth with, oh. You know what I'm saying? Then Pop will come out the mouth with, oh, one of them damn boys and hit the transformer. Get that, what the fuck are you talking about? That's some normal shit. Are you serious right now? Well, you know, it don't happen all the time. Every now and again, you know, one of them boys get that cone lick up in them and mess around and hit that damn transformer. And God only knows how long it's going to take before it gets fixed. Ain't this what the hell? See, y'all motherfuckers that talk about this, I'm going down south because it's slow and that's the shit that comes to my mind when I think about living down south. You think I'm going to tell you? No, see, your boy can't do that. I'm not built for no shit like that. That's not in my DNA, my 23andMe. I don't give a fuck what you call it. I will live on top of people, on top of people, on top of people, go outside, catch the goddamn subway, catch the light rail, catch the bus, catch a hack. Because, look, Uber ain't nothing more than the hack system that Baltimore perfected. That's all Uber is. It's some legalized hacking. That's all the fuck this shit is. You know, I will do that, and I will put up with the fucking snow. Electricity off. Mm-hmm.
Hey, real quick, I got to clarify something. Hacking, we're not talking about information hacking, cyber awareness. Right?
Okay, yeah,
we don't
true
do that.
That.
We don't do that.
True that, true all that, right? True that.
So
true
just
that,
to let
that,
the folks
that,
know,
right.
Hacking is what we call our illegal taxi system in Baltimore.
All right? In Baltimore. All right. Right. Right.
Continue, cuz.
So, you know, I'm like, yo, your boy ain't built for no shit like that. Because you turn the electricity off there, that motherfucker, you know, the sump pump stop working. That means you get no water. You already don't have any television. I can live with that for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? That's no biggie. You have no internet. Fuck it. Well, first off, you have no Wi-Fi down that motherfucker at all. Again, where we live in South Carolina.
To begin with.
Well, I'm sorry. Where Granddad lives in South Carolina is in the middle of no motherfucking way. You hear me? So unless you got Verizon, your shit ain't working on that motherfucker. I'm just letting you know. But anyhow, so you have none of that shit. The air conditioner stopped working. Now, again, this is South Carolina in the summer. Boy, it was hot as hell. It was hot. This was beyond the meat sweats. This was beyond ball soup. This shit was ridiculous, okay? We're living in a trailer. Nice trailer, value, but still, we're living in a trailer, which is metal. Under that hot-ass fucking sun, all you got in that piece was burnt up. Not burnt up. I'm telling you how they said down south. Burn up. That's all your ass got, burn up. I'm in that motherfucker like, this is some bullshit. Yeah, this is why I only come to visit. And I'm here maybe 24 hours max, and I got to get the fuck back to civilization because this is some bullshit. I never, ever, 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 ever in my life living with some shit like this right here. No, I can't do it.
I'm sorry.
I can't do it. So, ever. No, I can't do that, Jack.
I had you on that one.
Yeah, you had me on that, and I appreciate that. Appreciate the support. God, man, you slow as a motherfucker on that one. But anyhow, I'm getting over it. I'm getting into it. You know, Saturdays are a joke. They're really, really easy. I'm going to go through this day, have a good one, rain included, so on and so forth. And I think, cousin, ring the motherfucking bell. And I shouldn't have said that before I said this other thing, but ring the bell. I believe that I'm actually going to go to church tomorrow. Why? Because the family, yeah, for real, right? Say what? The family is actually coming through my high school. We're all supposed to get together. This whole alumni weekend going on thing, and we're supposed to go to New Psalmist Baptist Church here in Baltimore. So I believe that because I missed today, I should at least join them at church tomorrow to partake in that thing that they do, and that'd be about it. But that's what my mind is leading
right
now. I can't, man.
For some reason, this has been a big topic of discussion everywhere I go is church. You know, and like, what is church? What does church do? And what compromises a church? And why people go to church? You know, And it's funny because you say that thing that they do, because mm-hmm. I think that's what church is. It's something that people do. You know what I mean? It's you know, I had the luxury of going to Israel and actually witnessing and touching and being and walking some of the footsteps that Jesus actually took, you know, during his time. Mm-hmm. And because I ain't see no big buildings. Yeah, allegedly. I ain't see no tall, you know, mega churches and, you know, mm-mm. big steeples and cathedrals and stuff like that. It was two of them that was built mm-hmm. after, you know, when he was supposed to be roaming the earth. Everything else was mm-hmm. like temples and like pits that people would sit in and stuff like that. So the church is actually something that we created, or people, humans created later on down the line. And it's a business more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I find it interesting that you said that, you know, that thing that they do, because that's the same way I look at it. It's, you know, your spirituality is your spirituality. Religion is something that you practice, and church is a thing that you do. Your spirituality mm-hmm. is always inside of you, is always with you. That's your connection with whoever you serve. And your religion is something that you practice, and church is something that you do. You go to church. You do church. So, yeah, that's interesting, man.
So
but good luck with that.
No doubt. So I got it last week because, what was it earlier this week? I mean, I got it earlier this week because I posted a question on Facebook and Twitter, like, why do people dress up to go to church? And I got the, well, don't people dress up to go to work? You know, why do people dress up to go to work? And why do people, why wouldn't they, or why shouldn't they? It was just a question. Like, why do people just, like, do you, you know, God has seen you naked. God has seen you with your hair all messed up. God has seen you when you put your finger up your nose, you know, that one time when you had to dig something out your ass. God saw all that. Like, you really think God cares why you show up to church? Like, really?
You show a nasty mofo.
You motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? He's like, you're a nasty. I love your ass, anyhow, but you so nasty, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? You know? I'm sorry about that. So, yeah, and I didn't hit the cough button at that time. I'm sorry, family. But, yeah, so it's like, yo, what's the reason behind it? And one person responded to give him our best effort. Really?
What?
You really think God is sitting back? You really think God is sitting back like, yeah, I really appreciate that you showed up in your best today. You know, oh, that makes me feel so good. Like, really? God, like, okay. Well, you know, that's how you feel, and that's how you feel. I ain't mad at you feeling how you feel. I just don't see no damn sense in it, you know. And the reason I asked the question, no one even asked me why I asked the question, which really pisses me off. Like, you know, they didn't even ask me why I asked the question. Thank you. I asked the question because I was driving around last Sunday, and as I'm driving around, I passed this storefront church, and this young lady was walking into the church. She was walking with this dress on that was a little too tight and some heels on that were a little too high, yet her singular focus was going inside that church. And I'm like, yo, what is the image and the message that you're showing before you even cross the threshold of that church? And I'm telling you, that dress was tight. Now, it was form-fitting. That's how it was made. It didn't help that she filled the monster out. Did not help. That she totally filled every centimeter of that monster out. Did not help. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, really? Really? Now, my thought process is, you know, I got a fucked up thought process. You know, I'm crazy. Why wouldn't, isn't that a place to be humbled? So why would you not come humbly and leave the same? Energized with the notion of doing God's work, whatever you believe God has directed you to do for the betterment of not only society as a whole, but your family, your folk, and yourself. You know what I'm saying? It really hit me.
Let me take a stab at that real quick, because going back to what I said as far as what you said, and church is something that people do. When you do something, you do it to be seen. You feel what I'm saying? So when you do church, you do it to be seen. Like, and people find different ways to justify it and explain it and rationalize it to fit their beliefs or their reasoning. But ultimately, you're doing it to be seen. You know, that's why churches become a business, because my goal isn't to spread the word anymore. My goal is to be the biggest mega church now. Mm-hmm. My goal is to bring everybody to glory and bring everybody to God. My goal is to make the most money, to build the biggest church, to monopolize property, to establish wealth, or whatever case may be. That's my goal. So again, when you look at church as a business, yeah, everybody who comes through those doors, well, not everybody, most people who come through those doors are coming to be seen. That's when you get the person that's hooping and hollering throughout the whole doggone the whole presentation, I would say.
That's what it is, the presentation.
Yeah. I mean, that's when you get the person doing backflips up and down the aisle and amening over everything, and every 30 seconds they amen, preach, amen. You know, even to the way they say certain things, it's all for attention. Now, again, having gone to Israel and been to a synagogue, it's humble. Everybody's quiet. They're getting a word. They're going through the ritual. Once they finish the ritual, they leave. I don't have a problem with people who go to church. You do what you do. But don't lie to me and tell me that God wants me to give them my best in regards to what I wear, because Monday through Saturday, you that person that's judging, ridiculing, criticizing, bad mouthing, stabbing people in the back, but on Sundays you dress your best, so you putting on a show for God.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you, and that is in many ways quite the same as what's going on currently in our political landscape. Because these idiots, too, are out here just putting on the show, both of them. And I get confused with the Hillary supporter, and I tell people all the time, that's not it at all. I am just a realist, and that realism speaks to the fact that we don't have a choice in this election except for choosing the lesser of two evils. So in that case, I sourly have to pinch my nose and do just that, because this is a pinch-your-nose election. This is not an election that I would have wanted to partake in. This is not something that I hope for as a member of our society. I had hoped for a good discussion, a great debate, if you will, between two folk, male, female, 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 didn't matter to me, whom brought their positions front and center, declared, this is what I'm about, this is what I'm for. I think that this is what we need as a nation in order to grow and move forward. Vote for me. And unfortunately, we don't have that. We have a lot of bickering back and forth. If he can do it, why can't I? If she can do it, why can't I? In the race right now, I have folks asking me, even today, like, yo, what's the show going to be about? What's the show going to be about? And I decided to not make it about those clowns, neither one of them. It needed to not be about that. We needed a fucking break, you know. And though we have to touch on that because that's what we do, right? We have to touch on it. We don't have to harp on it. And we will not. For the past couple of days, the political sideshow has been that, a political sideshow, because of Matthew. The gods of nature must have smiled heavily upon Donald Trump, because that's the only thing that could save his dumb ass. And then, boom, come Friday, another October surprise with this damn tape that got leaked, audio of him talking about how he grabbed women by the pussies and so on and so forth. Like, dude, do you not understand what you're going for right now? Do you not understand that every tool is going to be brought to bear to knock you out the box? Now, the woman on the other side of the equation isn't the brightest either. And I fear that she's taken the wrong stance and has not wavered from that stance like she did when she went up against President Obama. She took the wrong stance against President Obama, and it cost her the election. This whole thing about Trump isn't fit to lead is a powerful tool. It really well is. But you're never going to get over 50% utilizing that tool, especially if your name is Clinton. The Clinton name has a lot of dirt on it. You know, everyone knows Bill was a son of a bitch. Bill was dirty. He got into office deploying every tactic that he could possibly deploy to get elected. He did well while he was there, relatively speaking, because on some sides, some sectors of our nation, he did horrible. You know, I pointed out a number of things. The welfare to work declaration. That was not smart. It wasn't smart. It made Republicans feel good. So you're kicking all these welfare recipients off of welfare and making them get a job. Okay. But it wasn't smart. Why? Because now you need additional vouchers for daycare. You need additional vouchers for food. You need additional food funds because mom's at work. Mom could have another kid or two. I mean, just all kinds of shit. You know, the levels of change and the domino effect that those moves had wasn't the smartest thing. Not to do now. It was a noun to do thing. This was something that should have been phased in. You dig what I'm saying to you? Phased in. Okay, look, you've been in the system now for 18 years. Yeah, you need to get a job. You know what I'm saying? You don't have babies anymore. You have grown young adults. Now you go to the next tier. Well, you've been in the system for 14 years. Okay, you need to work. You've been in the system for 10 years. Okay, you know, give folks some time to do what they need to do. Give yourself some time as to where you're not coming, turning right back around and providing extra assistance and additional social benefits because all of a sudden you yank mom out of the household. You already kicked dad out of the household because you told her from the beginning, if she had a man in the house, then she couldn't get any benefits. You kicked daddy out of the household already. So now you kick a mom out of the household as well. So who's left to raise the children? You dig what I'm saying to you? That shit doesn't happen by incident. That shit happens by design. And when we say welfare, we still think consciously and subconsciously that we're talking about black folk. When we know numerically, white folk are the greatest recipient of welfare. They are the greatest recipient. Percentile and number, they are the greatest. They are the greatest, which is very important when you talk about percentile, because if there were more people in a smaller slice of the populace, then that percentile would be greater. Well, less people. Less people, but more recipients in a smaller slice of the populace, then that the percentage would be greater. Well, you have more people whom still have more recipients in a larger slice of the populace, and that percentile is still high. That's all around. That's out and out a win. They won. They knock you out of the box. You have 100 people, 90 of them you're giving assistance to. That's 90%. You dig what I'm saying to you? You have 4 people, 3 of them you give assistance to. That's 75%. Dude, that's only a 15% difference, but it's only 3 people. You know what I'm saying? That's an 87 differential between actual persons, but the percentile is only 15% off. That's huge. That's huge. So, yeah, no. If you're a Clinton, you did a lot of bad shit. As I said, welfare to work, going along with the Republicans for the get along with the minimum maxes for sentences, the harsher drug sentencing, the differential and the huge disparity between crack cocaine sentences versus powder cocaine sentences, because crack cocaine sentences were aimed at and largely perceived to be black and brown crimes, where powder cocaine sentences were aimed at and largely perceived at being middle America, upper America echelon type crimes, white folk. And this is why we have this shit. This is why we have this disparity. Now, you look at the budget. Who had the budget? I think it was it the national budget? Somebody released a budget recently. Oh, damn it. I didn't write this down because I wasn't going to bring it up, and I can't remember it. It'll come to my mind. But there was a section of the budget that strictly went to treatment of opioid addiction. Why? That wasn't the section of the budget That wasn't the section of the budget that directly or strategically went to crack cocaine addiction. Why? What's the difference? If your populace is hurt and your charge is to take care of the people are hurting, the people need assistance, why is it now that you say, okay, yeah, let's give them some help? Why is it now?
Well,
because opioid addiction. Go ahead.
That budget is actually in Maryland. Governor Hogan actually came up with that
budget. That's what it was. Thank you.
And proposed
Thank you.
Proposed it to propose it to give Baltimore like I think $1.5 million for this fight against heroin, and and in the article they were actually kind of criticizing the chief of the chief of police of Baltimore City for not taking the money, and they were saying like, why wouldn't he take the money? You need it, and he was like, no, we don't have that problem here in Baltimore. That problem is Anne Arundel County problem. That problem is a problem in, you know, in freaking Silver Spring. In Baltimore, we have crack.
Mm-hmm.
And the money that's needed, we need, first of all, we need more money, and the funds need to be appropriated to fight the proper battle. We're not fighting heroin in Baltimore. We're fighting crack cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
So now all of a sudden, like you said, now all of a sudden, because it's a problem in Silver Spring and Anne Arundel County and Annapolis and stuff like that, now you want to start funding money, but then you don't even want to fund the appropriate amount of money to fight the problem. So the chief of police he didn't accept the funds.
That's what it was. Thanks, family. I couldn't remember who the hell threw that budget out there. I know I was right. See, this is the problem when you read. Shit just runs all together. It gets all jumbled and jambled on your ass. I'm like, man, what the hell is that all about? I can't remember. I know I said something to somebody. Somebody said something to me. Who the hell is that talking with you? Shit, I don't know. You know, then I'm getting old, motherfucker. You know, you celebrated your birthday.
Yeah,
I celebrated my birthday. Yeah, that don't help. That don't help. You know, thank God I don't have that. Well, you know, not a knock against you, family. But thank God I ain't got 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 kids. You know what I'm saying? When you start just look. Hey, my, look that, boy, you know your goddamn name. You know what I'm saying?
Go to hell, man.
I'm just saying. You know how it is when you got a lot of kids, man. And you know, you go to call one of them. You got to run down the whole damn list before you get to the right person's name. And you know, an asshole like me, I be staying there like, come on, I'm just waiting for. Yep, that one, that's me. You know, how my grandma did.
You know,
I really don't. Yeah, exactly. But you know what the hell I'm talking to? What the fuck am I on? I'm standing here trying to pick up. You know the hell you talking to or about? Shit, I don't know. Yeah, but yeah, and like the kids gonna turn themselves and oh yeah, that was me. I did it. Like, what the hell you mad at the kids for?
That ain't never.
Kids gonna do what kids do. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Kids gonna do what kids do. But anyhow, all right. So we got to go through the numbers because again, that's what the hell we do. In the latest polls. It's tight. It's a very tight race. And I hinted at that earlier when I said Clinton is not faring herself too well. Because in a situation like this, when you have an idiot that you're running against in Donald Trump, this race shouldn't be close at all. It shouldn't even be remotely close. This is not something that the world should be guessing about. This is not something that the price of gold should be fluctuating on because – again, investors around the world don't know which way the damn election is going to go, right? But it is. And sadly, Clinton has yet to crack 50% or greater, even after all the dumps that Trump has left. And Trump has left a number of dumps. The fight with the Miss Universe, this recent sex tape, this recent tape that was released about a 2005 interview that he did. In the vice presidential debate, Pence is up there talking about, because he did, Spence is up there talking about, Donald Trump never said that. No one goddamn fool well got the, dude.
Yo,
we have YouTube.
That was funny. That shit was
yes,
hilarious.
Yo, we have YouTube. Hello? Walk into the 21st century, gentlemen. We have YouTube. We have Snapchat. We have Instagram. We have Facebook. We have cell phone video. Duh. There's nothing that – fuck all that. We have Google, motherfucker. Do you not understand that Google stores everything?
Yeah.
Everything is stored in Google. Come on, dude. There's nothing that you say. Nothing – that you say that goes away. Everything that you say, everything that you've done is forever. It's forever, because you know that's a long ass time. When you drop the E off, it's forever. That's it. It will stay around for millennia. After millennia, it is always going to be here. So this idiot gets on – well, he's not an idiot. I still say that he looks like Palpatine from Star Wars, the evil dude, the real, real evil dude, the top evil dude, the one that's above Darth Vader. That's who the fuck he looks like. To me, that's Palpatine. He looks like the evil-ass dude in the background that's controlling the strings of the dummy. That's what he looks like. Say what you want to say. Boom. Because – if they get elected, please believe it will be Idiot 1, Idiot 2, Part Trey, meaning this will be Bush-Cheney Part 3 because you already had Bush-Cheney 1, you already had Bush-Cheney 2 because of his brother that he got reelected, and then here you go with Part Trey with these idiots because the vice president will be telling the president what the fuck to do. You can say all this shit about Donald Trump and you believe in his bravado, you believe that he wants change. When it gets to sitting in that office, when it gets to signing those executive orders, when it gets to dealing with Congress, when it gets to dealing with diplomats from other countries, that dude is not going to have a fucking clue. He is not going to have a clue. So Pence will be the one running the White House. Let's be real about that. Let's be real about that.
Well, and it's crazy, and so he, because they have philosophical differences, man. And that's what's mm-hmm. really crazy about this whole relationship. Because, I mean, not only does Pence not know what Donald Trump is saying, or he's acting like he doesn't know what Donald Trump is saying, but they actually differ on, like, 90% of the policies that Trump is proposing.
Mm-hmm.
They actually have, like, mm-hmm. true philosophical differences, and it's, like, open. It ain't no damn secret. That's crazy.
Well, in a lot of ways, though, that's like Bush Sr. and Reagan, to be honest with you. They had a lot of differences. Not as many, but they did have a lot of differences, and he came in to help them out. But I do agree with you. The breadth, the disparities, the degree of differences that these jokers have, if that was a marriage, you know, that you like, yeah, that motherfucker's going to divorce court in about 3 to 6 months. It's not going to happen, you know. And,
right, that's
you know,
my point. It's not the fact that they have philosophical differences. It's the amount, and it's the particulars. It's the specific policies that they disagree on. I'm like, damn, like, how are you going to, you know, coexist if on the most important policies you differ on? Like, that's what's alarming. I mean, on top of
mm-hmm.
everything else, now we have a vice president who doesn't agree with 90% of the stuff that you're saying, and who doesn't understand that. Well, because I'm really trying to figure out, like, did he really not know that Donald Trump said these things, or is he really trying
mm-hmm.
to play America? Is he trying to play America for the stupid? And have you think that Donald Trump didn't really say these things? Either way, like, you got to be a fucking idiot to think that's going to fly, and think that the media is going
to
pick that up and then crush you on it.
He had to be an idiot just to accept Donald Trump's
yeah.
appointment as a nominee. So, I mean, you
yeah.
know, questioning his idiocy is, you know, idiotic in and of itself, because he had to be an idiot. But
yeah, you're right.
I didn't want to say that out loud, but you know, you were being very idiotic, even contemplating his idiocy, but that's okay. In the Fox poll, Clinton is up 44-42. And the Rasmussen poll, Clinton is up 42-41. Quinnipiac poll, which tends to be extremely accurate, Clinton is up 45-40. CNN poll, same difference, 47-42, Clinton's up by 5. The CBS poll, this one caught me because she's almost at 50%. She's at 49% while Trump is at 43%. And the Fairly poll, she's at 50%, and this is the only poll that has her at 50% while he's at 40%. Now, that poll I never heard of, the Fairly Dickinson poll. This is the first time I ever heard of that poll. But that is where they are. There's a 10% difference. Now, in the major swing states and some minor ones, Clinton leads in Virginia, Florida, and North Carolina, while Trump is leading in Georgia and South Carolina. Clinton is also up in Michigan and Pennsylvania. Now, Ohio I didn't include because Ohio right now is too close to call, to be honest with you. So we'll see how that one slices on Election Day. Now, mind you, we're only 37 days away from the election. It's extremely close. Is it 37? Yeah, 37 days away from the election. So, you know, things will be – nope, I'm sorry, I lied, 32. We're 32 days away from the election. So these numbers will constantly flux and change. Now, let's remember what we're talking about when we started this thing off, the show, I mean. We talked about Hurricane Matthew. Now, Hurricane Matthew is touching the South from Florida all the way up to Virginia. Those are battleground states. A number of those are battleground states. And Florida, the governor's already announced that he will not, say that one more time, he will not extend voter registration days, nor extend the ability for Floridians to vote, even though they're dealing with this unprecedented hurricane in the middle of the voting season. So Governor Scott has already decided that that's not going to happen in Florida. I already see that going to the Supreme Court. I already see it. If it's too close, it's going to the Supreme Court. That decision is going to the Supreme Court. If the Supreme Court in Florida doesn't justify it or not, you know, say that, yeah, it should have been extended and give folks a couple more days to vote. Yeah, I see that happening. Paul Ryan, though, has left the boat. Paul Ryan has had enough of Trump, finally. He has not officially pulled out his endorsement. However, he has, through surrogates and others, pulled away from Trump. There's an annual event held in his district in Wisconsin called the Fall Fest, and Trump was politely uninvited from the event due to the comments and the audio on the audio tape that were released on Friday. Ryan's comments were and are, and this is directly from the speaker, "I am sickened by what I heard today. Women are to be championed and revered, not objectified." That's a pretty strong statement from the leader of the party, especially when you're talking about, again, we are only 32 days away from electing another president. This is the most interesting election that I have ever witnessed in my lifetime, being old enough to know what the hell's going on. I hope it's the last one like such that I witnessed in my lifetime, knowing what the hell is going on and what's at stake. When you have a dude that has yet to grasp the nature and ability of the nuclear triad and what it's all about. Not saying that, you know, the average person knows what the nuclear triad is about. Not saying that the average person knows or ever has ever heard of the nuclear triad. But when you start running for president, you take yourself out of the category of average person, Mr. Trump. You do. So you really need to get your shit together. Tomorrow will show and prove. There's another debate tomorrow. So we will see how much he's actually learned, if he's learned anything, come tomorrow, because it will be more of a town hall style. So I'm hopeful that those in the room will have some very poignant questions for not only he, but also for her, because she does not get a pass just because she is a Clinton. She does not get a pass just because she's a female. She does not. I'm sorry. We are living in strange times, and we need to be serious about our business. And on tap for us as a nation right now, the most pressing business is not about terrorists, not about terrorism. Hell, it's not even about jobs directly. It's not about infrastructure directly. It is about whom we decide as a people to elect and select to be the next leader of the free world, and more specifically, the next leader of our nation.
So, I think, you know, a lot of times we look at this situation a little differently, I don't think we're looking at it at the big picture. I'm not too bothered by who Donald Trump is and what he stands for, because he's one person. The problem that I have is that millions of people support him. Mm. That's the problem that I have. You know what I'm saying? Because I can't control. I mean, I can't be. Yes, he's running for president, so yes, his views definitely, you know, impact me. But he has to get into the presidency. He has to get into that seat, and the way he gets into that seat is if he wins the popular vote. And like, that's what scares me. That's what bothers me, because he's actually in competition with a popular vote. So, unfortunately, Levon, I think that what we see now is only the beginning of what's going to come later on. And I say that because of this. we have a black president who served two terms. They don't like that. We potentially have our first female president going to be in office. Definitely don't like that. So you have a lot of Americans who, again, don't like black folk and who are very sexist still today. So all of their fears have come to the forefront. You know, they're forced to confront their fears and say, oh, my God, we had a black president twice. Oh, my God, now we're going to have a woman president. Where does our country come to? Let's take control of our country and make America great again. You have millions of people who are living by this, let's make America great again, because making America great again still hasn't been answered. Like, what do you mean make America great again? Like, what greatness do you want to see again? The greatness that I feel that they want to see again is segregation to a certain degree, systemic segregation more than anything, systemic racism, and gender discrimination. I think once they see this again, then they'll be quiet, they'll go back into the closet, they'll hide, and they'll go back into their offices and conduct business as usual. So with seeing things, how things have been over the last 15 years, well, let me say 11 to 12 years, I don't see it changing for the better in the sense that we won't see this again. I think we would definitely see this again because people definitely feel empowered to say how they really feel because of Donald Trump. And another presidential candidate isn't necessarily going to stop that. We could have somebody that's the polar opposite of what Donald Trump is running in the next election. But since people have become so empowered to speak out now, they will continue to do so in the future. And they will continue to act on their racism, their sexism, their gender discrimination. They will continue to vote that way and be open about it. So, yeah, man, like, this is not going to be the last time we have this kind of issue. This is not going to be the last time that we have this kind of division, because bottom line is we are a nation divided. I know that's one of the few things that I heard President Obama say that I felt like he was completely off on as far as social awareness, I'll say. He's always saying we're not a nation divided. And we are truly a nation divided, man. Like, completely. Like, look at the polls. These people aren't voting for Donald Trump because of his policies and what he can do for the country. They're voting for Donald Trump because of all the stupid shit that he's saying out of his mouth. All the racist comments he's making, all the sexist comments he's making. That's why they're voting for this man. They're like, hell yeah, rah, rah, rah. Send the Mexicans back to Mexico. Send the niggas back to Africa. By the way, I'm black, but I'm not that kind of nigga. You know what I'm saying? And that's the scary thing about it. That's the scary thing about it, because it ain't just white people. It's black folks, too, that's like, yeah, I hate niggas, too. What I always compare Donald Trump to when I talk about this is the satire on the Dave Chappelle show when they had the black KKK member. You know, when the dude, I mean, he was blind to his own situation, so he was screaming white power, white power, white power, until somebody mm-hmm. revealed to him, man, you do know you're black also, right? But I'm not black. You know, he went off.
No, he said, sir. I am no way, shape, or form involved in any of them.
You know what I'm saying?
Jasper!
And
get us up the trip!
And I think that's where we are right now, man. I think a lot of people are having having an identity crisis. You know, they don't believe that their blackness is just as black as my blackness. Or... Mm. Your brother's blackness or my brother's blackness, like, they're lost and they're confused and they're tricked and hoodwinked and bamboozled into thinking that because you support that you're different. No, you're not different. At the end of the day, they're still going to look at you the same way. These policies and stuff that he's looking at implementing aren't going to help you necessarily. Yeah, it might help you. But if you have a cousin who is not as well off as you, or if you have a brother or sister who is not as well off as you, it's going to hurt them. And people don't look at things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're in trouble for years to come, cuz.
They think that we're not connected. and all connected. There's nothing that you do. I know that sounds strange. I know that may sound a little harsh, but it's the truth. There's nothing that you do. We do everything. Because without me, you can't do this. Without him, you can't do this. Without her, you can't do that. Someone helps us along all the way, all the time. Somebody is always there. So and I got into a discussion about this yesterday. So, and I said to someone, I said, you are chasing the facade of control. And the person snapped back at me. It's like, no, I'm not. I just want, no. You fucked up when you just said, ah. That tells me right there that you are chasing the facade of control. Dude, there's very little in our lives that we control. And that is a harsh reality that a lot of people don't know how to face. There is very little in our lives that we control. There are so many other factors that play into everything that is done that are totally out of our control. Meaning, you have to go to work today, right? For whatever reason, you're on your last strike. If you're late, you know, you're going to get fired. So you get up extra early. You leave the house extra early. You get in your car extra early. You leave for work extra early. You should be to work easily a half an hour before you're supposed to be there. But your ass wound up getting to work 25 minutes late. Why? Because somewhere along that journey, somebody in front of you decided to drive slow, which caused somebody else behind them to break out and go wide right, which caused an accident. Because somebody else ran into them because they themselves were running late, so they were speeding. Now, you're stuck in traffic. You had absolutely nothing to do with that. That is totally out of your control. But that shit happens. It happens. It happens all the time. We want this grandiose impression about ourselves because we need to feel important. And you are. You are extremely important. You matter.
Intelligent.
You matter.
Time.
You are extremely important, and you do matter. However, there's little that we actually control. The only thing that you can truly control is your reaction to whatever happens. That's all you can control. That's it. That is it. You know what I'm saying? You get up, you want to iron your clothes, and, dude, somebody at the damn power plant doesn't regulate the electricity right, boom, all your electricity's out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's so much shit that is totally out of your control. Accept it and roll the fuck on. Roll on. But we don't know how to do that.
I think that's scary, Lee. You know, a lot of people don't get that. And they don't like the fact that people like you and I get that. And when you say that, and when you proceed through your life like that, people think that you don't care or you're insensitive to stuff. Like, no, I just know I know I don't have control of that shit.
There you
know
go.
What I'm saying? Like, well, I'm outside of my own actions, you know. And again, even still, that's to a certain extent, you know. Like, there's a thought process that goes through your, you know, the things you do in your everyday life. For the most part. So, like you said, there's very little that you have control over. And once you understand that, for me, the best way for me to describe it, and this is my little bit of religion that I learned over the years, is a serenity prayer. You know, understand the things I cannot change, changing the things that I can, and give me the wisdom to know the difference. Once I understood what that meant, dude, it's really nothing that bothers me. Like, I go through what I go
mm-hmm.
through. I fix what I can fix. If I can't fix it, for a second I might be like, oh, man, I might be bummed out and stressed out a little bit about it for a second. Then I got to get the hell over and move on to the next one. Because meanwhile, while I'm sitting back stressing over things I can't change and going crazy over things that's out of my control, life is still continuing. My kids are growing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? My kids still need. Work still has to be done. And I got to keep pushing. You know, so even with all of this stuff that's going on in our presidency, we have to continue to keep going. We have to continue to make things better in our lives. We can't sit back and wait for the President of the United States to rescue. I can't wait for Bill Clinton, what's his name, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton to be my savior. And that's what pisses me off, because we sit back here. I get it. The President of the United States, I mean, because of the way our Constitution was designed, the way our country is formed, we have to have a President of the United States. That's the way it is, because that's the way we made it, right? But the president doesn't govern my life. And that's what's pissing me off, because people sit back and, oh, my God, yeah, it's frustrating. Yeah, it's a little scary in regards to our policies. But guess what? I still have to live my life around those policies. A lot of things that President Obama put in play didn't necessarily impact my life, because I still have a goal. I still have, you know, things I want to accomplish. I still have things I need to do for myself and my family. But again, I still don't control every single thing around me. The things that I do control, I need to make the most of it and go forth as such. But that's a scary place to be, Lee, because people really don't understand that, and they can't get comfortable with the fact that they don't have control.
Right. Right. Nor can they get comfortable with the fact that everyone doesn't think like them.
Right, right.
And you know what I'm saying? They're like, yo, I don't think like you, and guess what? That's okay. You know, I understand
you.
I understand.
You
understand.
You need to understand.
Now, I understand that you don't agree with what I just said to you. I understand that. I'm not mad about that. What the fuck you mean you ain't mad? Like, dog, what do you want? You know what I mean? Like, you want me to be mad? Because that makes you feel better, because I'm mad. Yeah, no, you're not getting that from me. But, you know, different story for a different time. But speaking of the president, and something you and I talk about a lot, which is legacy building, over his presidency, President Obama has overseen the creation of 15.1 million jobs. Now, ranking that against his past three predecessors, he's in the middle of the pack pretty much. Clinton is actually first at 22.9 million. Reagan is second with 18.1 million. He has leaped and bound over George W. Bush at 8.2 million. Now, when I saw that, I had to think about it. And I said, well, I think that number is misleading. And I say that because you really have to take what Bush did and take it as a net negative. You know what I'm saying? So I would say that he's actually over Clinton at 23.3, because the flush that happened, the flush on the economy, the flush on job loss and job growth that happened during the latter part of the Bush years really made that a negative for me, or a zero for me. So I would say that he came in, he being President Obama and his administration, built us back up to zero, and then took us from zero and got us to 15.1. So that's how I came up with that figure. You could call me crazy. You could call me, you know, a liar. I can live with all that shit. You know, but in my mind, that makes sense.
That's accurate.
In my mind, that makes sense.
But that's the truth, though. You know what I'm saying? And I say that because people are criticizing President Obama for the job loss in 2008. The job loss in 2008, it's like a damn relief, like in baseball. You have earned run average, and you have, well, you have earned runs, you have runs allowed, right? So, an earned run is something that you actually controlled or you actually played a part in, right? I had three base hits, and then somebody, you know, and the bases are loaded, I get relieved, the next pitcher comes in, give up a grand slam. The next pitcher that comes in is only going to get one earned run on his total because he allowed that hit, that home run. So that fourth run that came in is going to be accredited to that new pitcher. The first three runs that came across that plate is going to be accredited to the pitcher that was in there originally. So when you talk about the job creation and loss in regards to President Obama and George Bush, in 2008, the jobs that were lost should be accredited to George Bush. But they've been planting on President Obama. Oh, well, in 2008, we lost this, and we only had this percentage of job growth. there's like a 2% job growth. Yeah, that's because, like you said, we were in the red in 2008. He brought us back up to even, and then from that point, it's been a steady growth every single year. It's been the growth has been higher and higher. So how do you not take a step back and look at the big picture and realize for that first year, how can you credit the first quarter or two job loss to President Obama? How? Huh. The fucking ball was rolling years before he came in the office.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, we sit back and we'd rather look at it for the argument that's going to fit us instead of being honest about the reality of the situation. Now, had President Obama came in and every year he lost jobs, then yeah, he would be to blame for if he didn't see a steady growth every year, you know, or significant growth every year, we could say that he hasn't done enough as far as job creation. But he's clearly done enough or done what he could do as far as job creation. But, again, it doesn't fit the propaganda for, for the system. And here lies, he's getting beat over the head for something that he's not responsible for or had no control over. Again.
Right, and let's be honest and let's be real. These are private sector jobs. These are not public sector jobs. So this is a indication of how well his policies and procedures have driven the economy as a whole. This isn't a force down your throat, we're going to set up all these new governmental agencies and expand government in order to make these things happen, which is often trumpeted by the Republicans aimed at the Democrats as, you know, expanding government. These ain't jobs that happen through government. These are jobs that happen through the private sector. So that is actually a huge accomplishment. You know, the dude hit the highest approval rating in his presidency early in the week. This is the second time that he's crushed that number. Dude, come on, man. This has to be listed as one of the greatest presidencies ever. One of the great, not the greatest, but one of the greatest presidencies ever. I still have to credit the greatest presidency ever with FDR. FDR was president a number of times. The people loved him. He guided the country through some very rough times, and he really got America rolling into the 20th century. So you got to give him props for that.
And that's fair because guess what? A lot of President Obama's policies and the way he's handled the recession is exactly how FDR handled the depression.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, everything from healthcare to transportation, like all. I mean, I can't remember what book I read. You know, and I don't know why because my reading list is short as hell. But I can't remember what I was reading, but I mean, almost mirror images as far as. Again, universal health care, Obamacare, the transportation bills, education, all that good stuff. They're almost mirror images in regards to what the policies were supposed to accomplish. The verbiage might be different as far as the names and some things inside the bills, inside the policy. But damn, like, this is exactly what FDR did, and again, like people doesn't. That's when I realized how smart President Obama was. Because I'm not saying I'm the smartest mofo in the world, but I try to keep things real simple. Instead of recreating the wheel, when was the last time this shit went right? So let me find something that worked, and if I can duplicate that, I'm gonna duplicate that shit.
There you go.
And then duplicate it, I'm gonna make it fit the current circumstances. And that's exactly what President Obama did, I think.
Work smarter, not
harder. Right. You know what I'm saying? He took something that worked before, tweaked it to now, and started pushing it and feeding it to people. That guy's intelligent, man. He's very intelligent. And he did. I think he's done well, extremely well, with the cards that he was dealt. And you can't take it away from him, man, regardless of what you might want to say as far as what he didn't do. I mean, no president, I don't think it's fair to a president to expect for them to accomplish everything when they come into office, you know. And, mm-hmm. and people say, well, he hasn't done anything for African Americans. He's done a lot for America, and we just happen to be people that live in America. So goddammit, shut up and enjoy the benefits. You know what I'm saying?
That he's, sit back, sit your ass down, and enjoy the ride.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Like, he hasn't done specifically anything like that stands out for, hey, I wish I would like for him to take one day and say, okay, for black folks, I'm going to do this. But that's not realistic. I really would like for him to say that one day. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I'm going to do this one for my people and drop the mic and even lead the Oval Office. So hopefully he'll do that right before he leaves. You know what I'm saying?
I'm telling you. I'm not putting it past him on his final day to call a press conference and make a monumental speech. I'm not putting it past him. But
I'm not saying that. I definitely think he will make a monumental speech. But again, I'm not reparations.
I'm thinking about the reparation speech. I think he's actually going to apologize on his final day. I really do.
Maybe.
I really
mean, I think that's a political ploy because it'll put a lot of pressure on the country on the government again for that particular issue. But like I said, it'd be nice for him to be like, look, you know, every African American in the country is going to get, you know, $4,000 in their bank account tomorrow. Boom,
Mm-mm.
hit the button. There we go.
No, he wouldn't do anything like that because that would be foolish.
Right.
I'm talking about just making a statement of apology and moving on. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it's going to be, we put this plan together, da, da, da. No. I think it's going to be a formal state of apology from the Oval Office, from the President of the United States, and move on. You know what I'm saying? The election will be over. His legacy will be solidified. Hillary, God willing, and the creek don't rise, will win. He has nothing to lose. At that point, the party has nothing to lose. They're in power for at least 4 years. At least 4 years. Why not? It's the right thing to do, especially in these times of police brutality and folks just all the racism is that's, you know, just being unearthed and totally brought to the surface. Because, again, those whom are living in the situation are very much aware of it. Those whom are outside of the situation have been able to deny. And now that the moving images are there, the audio images have been planted in folks' minds, it's very difficult for them to say, well, no, I'm done. When you can turn around, okay, well, how about this person? How about that person? But what about this situation? What about that situation? It's kind of difficult for them to be able to wiggle out nowadays. So I think it would be most apropos for him to say that on his final day. And like you said, drop the mic and walk out. What does he have to lose? Nothing. Absolutely nothing to lose. You know what I'm saying?
Nothing.
Actually, that would embolden African Americans. That would embolden all the folks whom have fought for such an apology to happen. And I think that would really catapult the Democratic Party into the next stratosphere, to be honest with you. To be told.
Not only that, man, it'd be a perfect segue to his post-presidential career.
Right.
You know, because once he's not the president anymore, he definitely can go ahead and be a public figure for African Americans. So, that'd be the perfect segue. I think everybody will rally behind him. And I think much more will happen because of him after he's the president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see.
We're going to wrap up with this. The manufacturer of the EpiPen, Mylan, was back in the news. They have decided to settle in a lawsuit brought by the DOJ for $465 million. It's in regards to them falsely classifying the EpiPen in order to overcharge Medicaid for the life-saving drug. So they've been beating the system for years. They finally got caught with their hands in the cookie jar, and now they're only going to pay $465 million to the U.S. government.
Yeah.
Now, let's be mindful of that, because that $465 million is a hellaciously close to the amount of money we just turned over to Iran not too long ago. You know what I'm saying? So
hey, coincidence.
Follow the money, family.
You know what I'm saying?
Follow the money. Follow the money. But
well, I mean, it works.
The
you know what I mean? Wells Fargo
but,
is next. So
yeah, well definitely. I think it was it Indiana, Illinois that suspended all Wells Fargo operations in their state, and
Illinois.
Others are.
Illinois.
That was like the third one. That was like the third one in a week. So yeah, others are to follow. It's going to get real ugly for Wells Fargo real quick. Actually, I need to go see them on Monday because I need to move my money as well. I don't believe in that bullshit. So I do, man. I mean, look, I can't fuck around with them like that, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, it's been a good ride. I've been with them now for almost 20 years, but it's time to go. You know what I'm saying? You can't do no shit like that, man. You know, you can't take advantage of people like that. And the way to hit people like that is in the pocket. So move my money somewhere else and keep it moving. Thank you very much. Have a good one. I'll holler back. That's it. Thank you very much. Have a good one. I'll holler back. And, but I really want to close on this point. When we talk about Mitlin, when we talk about Wells Fargo, let's understand something, family. These folks' mindset is all about one thing, and that is ROI. ROI, for those who don't know, is return on investment. That's all they are focused on. They want to earn money for their shareholders. Why is Donald Trump's tax return so important? Because it lists all the people whom he either spent money with or gave money to him, especially if it's over a certain amount of money. Why has he not released this? Because it leads one to believe, you know, that he has had some dealings with folks that as a state leader he should not have had. But as a private business person, he's allowed to have. That conflict is important. That perception of conflict is even more important. His constant denial to do such is even of a greater importance because it lends to believe he can't be fucking trusted. I understand where Hillary's coming from with her methodology and her attacks upon him, but it's not enough. This cannot solely, and I think it was Lawrence O'Donnell that said this, and if it wasn't, I apologize, I forgot who to credit this to, but this cannot solely be about the leadership or lack thereof of Donald Trump. This election cannot be about that. This election has to be about our policies, our ideas, and our differences in those policies and ideas, and how even though we have those differences, we can still compromise to something that makes sense for all of us. The sad part is people don't have faith in Hillary Rodham Clinton because she is a Clinton. In 32 days, though, we will figure out and find out what the fuck is really going on. That's it for this week, family. You all have a good one. Next week, on the low, is the anniversary show. It will be 4 years next week. Like, we've been doing this. Yep, 4 fucking years. And it continues to be a joy. We will be pumped. We will be here. We will be locked. We will be loaded, and we will be ready to go. Not ready. I said ready to go. If your ass haven't done it yet, it's raining outside. Get the hell out of the house. Go see Birth of a Nation. You all be safe. Be good. Peace.
Allah.